little minor prophet of Micah. And chapter 4, Micah chapter 4. Comes right after Jonah. And right before Nahum. In my Bible, it's page 759. All right. You love the Lord this morning? Isn't He a good God? I have just looked at the creation around us these last several days here and just marveled at His handiwork. Wonderful, wonderful. We have been looking on Sunday nights for, I don't even know how long now, at the book of the Revelation. We have seen the terrible judgments of the tribulation. We have seen the terrible battle of Armageddon. We have seen the wonderful, wonderful time called the millennium. And tonight we enter into eternity in heaven, chapter 21. But we have some descriptions given here in Micah of some of that time that I believe is millennial period. And notice what it says in Micah 4:1. But in the last days yet shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God, to the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. What a wonderful time. I wish it were true today that people would say one to another, let us go up to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. I can't wait till that's true in this whole world. Can you? Until there's this time of peace, this time of ruling of Christ, when all are going to go and say, we just want to learn His ways and walk in His ways. It's hard to imagine that, isn't it? It's hard to imagine such a time. But I know that even today, for those who want this to be true, God will reveal Himself. He will reveal His purposes. He will reveal His ways to you and I today. And it is wonderful that we have a God who desires for us to know Himself, and to know His purposes, and to know His ways. God speaks to His people. God, throughout Scriptures, has always spoken to His people when He is about to reveal something to them about Himself. And those revelations about Himself just lead us into a deeper understanding of that love relationship that He wants to have with us. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and I hope that through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit often speaks to your heart and impresses some truth upon your heart. And when He is speaking to your heart, the Holy Spirit, what did the Bible say was His role? He is going to teach us all things. And that's going to be about God and His ways. And so He wants to reveal God to us. He wants to teach us more about God. And He might be revealing some truth about God in His name, or some truth about God in His nature, or about His character, or about His works, or about His ways. We were warned in God's Word that God's ways are not our ways. And certainly, if we are going to be successful in our walk with God, we have to understand God's ways and the way God does things. Here's one real early nugget this morning. If it's your way, it's usually the wrong way. Because it's not your way, it's God's way. God's ways are usually diametrically opposed to our ways. And what we need to know today are God's ways. Now, again, I'm just reminding you of truth that I'm sure you're certainly aware of, but in Genesis 17:1 it says, "And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.'" So what was the truth that God wanted to reveal to Abram about who He was? He says, "I am Almighty God." When we come to Moses, and we've looked at some of these truths in past weeks, the Lord spake to Moses, saying, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." What was God revealing about Himself when He was speaking through Moses to the people? "I am holy." When we come to later in the book of Malachi here that we... we didn't turn to Malachi, we're in Micah this morning, but in Malachi 3 it says, "I am the Lord, I do not change. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from me. My ordinances you have not kept. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." And so what is God calling for there? He's calling for His people to return unto them, but what do they have to understand before they can return unto Him? That God doesn't change. That He doesn't change. And so when God wants us to just about be ready to do something, He wants to teach us about Himself. And so God speaks to us. In John 6, Jesus said to the Jews, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." So what did He reveal Himself as there? The living bread. And He was going to invite them to partake of eternal life by accepting, by believing in, by receiving the living bread. God revealed this special name, El Shaddai, God Almighty, to Abram, so that Abraham might understand how mighty God was when He was going to allow him to have a child when he was 100 years old. When God was revealing His holiness to Moses and then eventually to the people, the people had to believe that God was holy and that they were going to respond to Him and be holy. when God spoke through Malachi to the children of Israel, he was calling them back to himself, to return to himself. And they needed to realize that God was the same. You know, we have been looking at how God wants to build this love relationship with us and how we can know and experience God on a personal level. And to do that, we have to believe God is who He says He is. When God says He's holy, we have to believe that. When God said He is almighty, we have to believe that. And then we have to believe that God can do what He says He'll do. And we have to adjust anything in our lives that falls outside of the range of believing that God can do what He says He'll do. We have to trust God and demonstrate that we believe who He is and what He says He'll do by obeying Him when He speaks to us and when He tells us what He wants us to do. As you obey, you will experience the love of God more, and as you experience the love of God more, you will know who God is. For example, when did God know God was almighty? When the baby was born. Now, he may have believed it before that, the Bible says he believed God and it was counted unto him righteous. So Abraham believed, but when did he experience God as being God Almighty? When the baby was born. And certainly, Abram looked and saw that God did what He said He was going to do because God is who He said He was. And by personal experience, he understood that God was almighty. You know, you and I can up here know that God is almighty. And we can up here know that God is one who provides. And God is holy. But until we have experienced in our own lives a way God has provided for us, a need has been met, He has shown Himself to be all-powerful, then we have personalized it and we have actually experienced God's almightiness. But not only does God in His Word reveal to us who He is, but aren't you glad He reveals to us His purposes? I love to study prophecy because I love to find out what God's going to do. Now, just because of your knowledge of prophecy, what's God doing right now? What is God doing in this world today? What is He doing right now? He is calling out a people for His name. That's what He's doing in the world today. He is building His church. He is saving people who come to Him by faith. That's what God is doing. What's God going to do next? He's going to take His church home. And He's going to rapture believers out of this world. That's the next thing on God's agenda. He's building His church, and then He's going to call us home to be with Him. We're going to hear that trump and that shout of the archangel and the voice of God. And we're going to hear the trumpet. And we're going to be caught up together with the clouds in the Lord to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what's on the... And then what's going to happen after that? Well, maybe not the next day, but shortly after that, God is going to begin sending forth all of those judgments of the tribulation period upon this earth. And so we know, how do we know what God's going to do next? Because God has revealed his purpose and his plan in his word. And he's done that throughout the ages. Again, some of this is review from last Sunday, but Noah, when God was about ready to unveil his plan of judgment upon this earth, did he reveal that plan to anybody? Yes, to Noah. And Noah then acted upon what God told him and began preparing that ark. God wanted to work through Noah to accomplish his purposes. Abram, when God wanted to have a people, a nation through whom he could eventually bring the Messiah, and a nation that was to be an example of the people who walked with their God, he chose Abram and started doing this work through Abram. And so God's always taking the initiative at demonstrating who he is and then revealing his purposes to us. Psalm 33:10 says this: "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to nothing. He maketh the devices of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. In other words, God's plans and God's purposes are forever. And Proverbs 19 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, it shall stand." It shall stand. Man's devices, man's plans are going to come to naught. They're going to be of no effect. But God's counsel, God's plan, is forever. It will stand. How many of you ever made plans that had to be changed? Anybody ever make those plans? I've had that happen to me a couple times this week. You know, last Sunday I stood right here and asked if there'd be any folks who could meet with our pictorial directory representative here. And Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, he comes by. And I had in my planner that he was coming by Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Guess what I had to do quickly? Change some plans. And so I had a meeting on Tuesday at 10 o'clock and another one on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. But our plans get changed. You know, does God ever have to change his plans? No. His counsel is forever and it shall stand. And so God, in his graciousness, has revealed his plans to us. And God wants us to follow his plan, not just a plan, or not just our plan. And often in life I have planned things that just have not been what God wanted, and he's had to change those plans at times. But you know, right along with God's plans, we see God's ways. And oft times we have a difficult situation discerning a difference between his plans and his ways, but he has his plans and then he has his own ways of carrying out those plans. God's ways and God's plans are different than man's ways and man's plans. Isaiah 55, we read this part of it a little bit ago. It says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways." And so God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And why is that a problem? Why can't our ways and our plans and our thoughts be God's? Well, because of what Isaiah 53 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And so because we've all gone astray, we can't have our plans. Because of the sin problem, our plans are tainted and corrupted by sin. And Jesus' plan primarily revolves around his kingdom plan. And so whatever will facilitate the kingdom of God are the plans of Christ. You remember one time when there was a huge group of people seated on a hillside, and Jesus was teaching them, and it came to be lunchtime, and the disciples said, "The people are hungry." And what was the plan of the people? Send them home. But what was Jesus' plan? To have them seated and to feed them all, because during that time he could continue to teach them about the kingdom of God and teach them about who he was and reveal his nature and his purposes. And not only did he feed them all, but he had leftovers. What a contrast. Send them home or have them be seated and fed. Why did God do what he did? Because of his kingdom plans. And his ways then are totally different than our ways. Notice what we read here in Micah chapter 4, right at the beginning of the message this morning. Verse 2, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways." Do you know what we desperately need in our world today? To know the ways of God and to walk in those ways. Verse 2 also says, "For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." You know what God's ways today are? The way of salvation. The way of peace. The way to bring in the kingdom of God. And he wants to do that as he reveals himself to us, when he then, having revealed himself to us through his word, teaches us his purposes and teaches us his ways. And then we can walk in his ways, and he can use us to accomplish his purposes. And as he uses us, we will love him more and experience him and can be able to say, "I know God." Not just I know about God, but I know God. How sad to go through life just satisfied with knowing about God, when you can go through life knowing God. And so, let's get to know him by knowing his word, understanding who he is, what he's doing, and how he's doing it. Let's pray.